record budget.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. Now, Nicholas, what we're doing these days, as most days, is going through the scripture, the Bible, that is, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And we have taken on the task of tackling the Psalms, and we've already done Psalms through chapter 50. So we're going to pick up here today at chapter 51 in the Psalms. So let's jump right in. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. So David here, and everyone knows the story, or at least has heard of David and Bathsheba, how David sees a woman bathing in private, and he spies her out, and then, of course, he lusts after her, and the lust, or that instinct, overrides everything. And I've discussed this many times about, yes, people have instincts too, but what separates us from the animals is that we also have a free will, whereas the animals can't wake up one day or just cannot decide that I am not going to obey my instincts today. I am going to be disobedient to God. Because our Heavenly Father put a programming in all of His creatures, yes, including man. We have a programming too, but the difference is that we were made, in difference to all of the other animals, we were made in the image of God. And that image is what separates us from the animals. We are to override our instinct. And that is by choice, and that is by practice, and that is something that we choose to do. We choose to live a life that's of obedience to our Heavenly Father. And we learn how to be driven by the Spirit rather than driven by our instinct or our flesh. So we have David who commits a terrible sin. First he murders the man after he commits adultery. And then he tries to cover up with a murder his adultery. This is a hopeful thing for all of us, because the fact is we all have sinned. There is none righteous, as the scripture says. Yes, we can become righteous. We can put on His righteousness, because we have no righteousness in ourselves. It is only through Him that we can stand clean before our Heavenly Father. and that is by his blood, which cleanses us from all of our sins. I heard one speaker say at a conference, he said, David sinned when he took a second wife. And he went on to let everyone know that he was talking about this incident with Bathsheba. However, for someone who is teaching the Bible, I was quite astounded at his ignorance, because David's second wife was not one Bathsheba. Actually, his second wife was one Abigail. And then after Abigail, when David became king, he took all of Saul's wives as his own wife. As a matter of fact, he didn't take them, but the Heavenly Father proclaimed, I have given thee thy master's wives, referring to the wives that were Saul's, which were now David's. So there is no way that Bathsheba was his second wife. And not only that, it wasn't when he took Bathsheba as his wife that was the sin. The sin was adultery, of course, sleeping with another man. And then the additional sin was murder, when he murdered Uriah to cover up his sin. At first he tried to cover it up by getting Uriah to come home from the battle and lay with his wife. But Uriah, being an upright and righteous man, he would not. He said, now, while my men are out there in the field, will I have pleasure? No way. And he went and slept on the porch or something. And so that kind of thwarted David's plan to cover up, because when they found out that Bathsheba was pregnant. And so he sent Uriah, of course, had him ordered into the front of the battle where he would be killed. That's murder. That was intentional. And still, you can't hide a thing from God Almighty. And when David came to himself and he was confronted with his sin, he repents. And that's what we're about now. He says, and you know, we can all say this. I could say all of these things too. And like I said, David gives me hope. If David, who committed these atrocious sins, can be cleansed, then let me have a heart like David. It was said of David that he had a heart after God, or after Yahuwah. So let me have that same heart. Let me have that repentant heart of true repentance. And hopefully that I'll never commit the terrible sins that David committed in the flesh. Though spiritually, because our Master has raised the standard when he said, if you hate someone without a cause, you are a murderer. Now, you can hate someone if you have a good cause. There is a place for hatred, but to hate without a cause is you become a murderer in your heart. So the Messiah, our Master, he raised the standard. He said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, so you see another man's wife and you want her, you desire her, you lust after her. Say, if you desire that which is unlawful, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. So the Master came and he raised the standard. Because before, just if you committed the act, that's what the scribes and the Pharisees thought. And that's why they were like, you know, whitewashed sepulchers. You know, they looked good on the outside, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. Because they were hiding their sin, they looked good. But their heart was full of filthiness. They lusted, and they hated without a cause, even as they hated the Messiah without a cause. They had no lawful cause to hate him. And I know that hate can be a lawful thing, that you can hate with a cause, because even Yahuwah, our Creator himself, said, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. And I've discussed what hatred and love really are. They are not just the feelings. We all have the feelings. It's the actions. It's what we do. It's the simple withdrawal of love due can be hatred. Because if a woman, for instance, is lawfully married to a husband and she withdraws her honor and her love from him, that's called hatred. She may not feel hatred. Oh, I really still love him, but I just can't live with him because we're not compatible, blah, 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 you know, and all the excuses that the world has to offer. But she's still breaking God's law. So she is really hating, even if she doesn't have the emotions of hatred. And the emotions are what accompanies the reality or can accompany reality, because all of the emotions that come with love can be experienced whether the love is lawful or not. But it can't be agape unless it is lawful. So I want to just recap that a little bit. But if you listen to my broadcast from a few days ago, and if you listen to me long enough, I usually go over these things and add a little more here and there as time goes on. So just stick with me if you are interested in these types of insights. But as we get through the scripture and we hit on these things, then I will comment on them. That's the beauty of having my own radio broadcast, and I'm so grateful to the Heavenly Father, and I ask His blessing, the blessing of His Holy Spirit, to reach deep down inside me and draw the word that I've hidden there out, and give us all understanding, including me. I get revelation as I do this, so it's a wonderful thing to serve the Heavenly Father in this way, and it's a wonderful thing to serve those who can't spend the time in the scripture, who must work and sacrifice their time and their labor in unpleasant tasks, even as they labor every day and do things that they would rather not be doing, but do it as a labor of love for their family. They can download these on their iPod, these broadcasts, these Bible studies, or they can listen on the radio, the internet, however they can get it, and be edified as they do their labor, and then impart some of this wisdom that the Heavenly Father gives us in their lives and to their family by example more than anything else. It's living a life to please our Heavenly Father that is the most important thing. It is that assurance that we are in His kingdom that comes with living, with having that true desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So let's continue. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you can truly repent, if you could truly nurture that desire to live a life that's pleasing to our Creator, and then doing the works meet for repentance, yes, worthy of repentance, because if the works don't follow, the repentance is not real. You are like the seed that falls on the stony ground. That's what you are like if the works do not follow the repentance, because the works are the work of repentance. And David cries out. He has sinned terribly, like he says, and he cries out and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And we should all cry this out. I have. David did. Let us have a heart like David, a heart after God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, what is David talking about here? David repented, yes. He was forgiven, yes. He received the mercy of God. His sins were blotted out. But guess what? He still had to suffer the consequences of his sin in the flesh. There was a judgment given by Nathan the prophet from the Heavenly Father to David when he confessed his sin. And the judgment that was that the sword would not depart from his house. And he suffered greatly in his very own house. We see the trials and the tribulation and the suffering and the anguish that David felt throughout his life. Because the judgment was true and it came to pass. But David never turned against his Creator. He says here that he is justified when he speaketh, and he is clear when he judges. And his judgment against David for his sin, even though he was forgiven, even though his sin was blotted out, he was still going to suffer the consequences of his atrocities in his lifetime. So let us never think that we can get away with it. It's one thing, yes, If you lust after a woman but you never carry that out into action, the consequences are not as severe as if you actually carry them out like David then did. Then you should suffer the consequences of your atrocities. Now, David was the highest authority in the land. No one was going to punish him for his sin. There was no civil magistrate over him. Of course, God could have brought foreign armies in to punish him, but David had repented, so he was going to suffer personally the consequences of his sin in his life and in his family. So not only did he suffer, but his children and his family suffered with him for the rest of his days. So we cannot, if we love our children, if we love our wives, if we love our families, if we love our grandchildren, if we say we love them, because so many people say they do, then if you love them, you will live a life of obedience to the Heavenly Father so that you do not bring the consequences of sin on your own life and on your generation and the fourth and fifth generation that follows you. Because if you read it right there, it says that he visits the iniquities to the fourth and fifth, or third and fourth, I forget which one it is, but it doesn't matter, because if you're getting generations off, you're getting a long time off, and whatever, I don't even want one generation of terrible consequences to come on after me. And we're going to be around for a while, folks. I think there's going to be many generations to come after me that are going to suffer or benefit by the consequences and or actions that I take in my lifetime. Let's not kid ourselves. We're foolish if we go along with the modern day futurist rapture cult that we're all going to be raptured out of here any day now. Most likely, we all are going to go to the grave and await there the resurrection of the dead, the last trump, just as our forefathers did. And if you read, you open your Bible up and you read the Ten Commandments there in Deuteronomy, I think chapter 20, or is it Numbers? Deuteronomy chapter 20, I believe it is. And you'll see right in the middle, it says that he visits the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if you're not keeping his commandments, he says you hate him. Yahshua the Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's in total agreement with the God of the Old Testament because he was the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the Old Testament. He is Yahuwah in the flesh. Yahuwah is our salvation, is what his name means. But he says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So you choose this day. Will you serve God and have mercy shown unto thousands that love him and keep his commandments? Will you teach your children? Will you teach your grandchildren to keep his commandments and to signify that they love him? To have a true repentance that bringeth forth the works meet for repentance? The work of repentance is evident in their lives? Or will you continue in your sin, going to your confession each week, or having the assurance of the hypocrites, the pastors, teachers, and hypocrites who lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves, and you continue in your iniquity and idolatry, and your children learn it from you because you're too damn lazy to take them out of the public fool system from the teachers of idolatry, from the pagans that are teaching them iniquity, and train them up as God would, as your Creator would have you. So they're going to suffer in their iniquity, and that is just going to be visited upon your children and their children to the third and fourth generation. And pray to God someone in your line repents someday so that they can break the chain of iniquity that you're building stronger. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Cross the border. Put an end to it now. And if you have older children and you haven't put an end to it yet, yes, your children are going to suffer. And you're going to watch them suffer as they struggle with the example that you set for them all their lives. Start setting a good example for your grandchildren or any more children that you may have. If your children are young enough, yes, they will follow your lead. They will see your repentance as you turn from iniquity to obedience. Keep His commandments. He said, if you love me, and I'm talking about Yahshua, Jesus, in the New Testament, it's recorded, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, Jesus, or whatever. He says, just calling me is not enough. But only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven, signifying again that He is the same God that spoke those words as they were recorded there in the amongst what is we call the Ten Commandments, where He says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. If you don't keep His commandments, He says that you hate Him. But if you keep His commandments, He says that you love Him, and He will show mercy unto thousands on your behalf. What a legacy. That's the legacy I want. David continues here, and he speaks for all of us when he says these things. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. No, his mother wasn't a harlot. Absolutely not. That's not what he was saying here. He was saying, I was born with a death sentence that was handed down from my fathers all the way from Adam. From the beginning of time, I was born of a corrupted seed, because the man that fathered my father and his father, the very first man, before he bore any seed, he was a corrupted man, and his seed was corrupted, and I am of that seed. So I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, meaning I was born a sinner. I had no choice. I was born with the death sentence of sin upon me, and the evidence is that every one of us die. Every one of us, as it says in Genesis, we all shall surely die. That was the death sentence. You shall surely die, and we all shall surely die. What more evidence do we need? How much clearer can it be? The very creation cries out itself that the Word of God is true. We all have the death sentence. And what a joke. Evolution. Here, these scientists that uphold evolution, these same scientists at the same time are over there going, it's a funny thing, you know? Mankind only uses 10% of his brain. Now I ask you a question, scientists out there. How did evolution create a brain 90% beyond the capacity which we are able to use it? Boy, evolution isn't very... According to evolution, it's supposed to be very economical. If I could put it in financial terms, that doesn't seem very economical to make all that waste and never use it. It's because Adam used 100% of his brain when he was created a perfect man. We lost along the way. God put limitations on the abilities of man. That's why we are limited today. Another evidence that His Word is true. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
When parents weep, there is a greater love. When children lose their way, a greater love. When there is a grace. when sorrows flow, and joy is swept away.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You need to go by there and drop me a line if you get a chance. Let me know you're listening. You can download former Bible studies there. You can get this Bible study there. You'll find a link for most recent Bible studies. It'll take you to an index folder where they're dated. And you can see some more recent folders there with more recent studies. So do take advantage of that. And, of course, make sure you watch that video there on my front page. It's just a short 10-minute video. And, some of the things I talk about regularly are touched upon in that video. Or I should say I touch upon regularly, but something that you should share. Send a link to everyone on your list so that... more people can understand have a better understanding of the faith and why we believe in things like the virgin birth and that Yahshua was the second Adam, a new creation. He was God in the flesh. He was the Creator's salvation, and He is our salvation. We're continuing here and haven't got too far in Psalms chapter 51, talking about David saying that I was shaped in iniquity. Of course, touching on that, the sin of our great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, the very first man, how because he sinned and the death sentence was laid upon him that you shall surely die. And we all have that sentence upon us from the day that we're born, because we shall surely die, every single one of us. And there may be a few exceptions, and there have been. So the Heavenly Father can do whatever He wants, but they do have to go through a metamorphosis, even as the Messiah said, unless the seed is planted in the ground. And we are all good seed if we are washed in His blood. The few that they'll be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, I guess that's a sort of a death when the trumpet sounds, but like I said, I don't expect to see that in my lifetime, and perhaps it'll be several hundred years before anyone sees that, before the Messiah actually comes and puts down all the kingdoms of men and puts an end to the times of the Gentiles, which is represented by Nebuchadnezzar's image dream, which was interpreted, which interpretation we have from the book of Daniel. And the interpretation is, the dream is sure, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So let us make sure that we understand that that is, that image from that dream represents what I believe the Messiah called the times of the Gentiles, because it all started with Babylon, when Babylon went in and destroyed the temple. And from that time on, Israel was under the domination of other nations until Israel was destroyed, and finally in 70 AD, and we still have the other nations dominating the world, specifically the Roman Empire, or a type of the Roman Empire being mingled with clay unto this day and until the time that the Messiah comes. Let us understand what that means, and we've got a template for prophecy that we can kind of use as a standard to measure any other prophetic utterance or whatever any other prophecy teachers may have to say about prophecy, to see if it fits in there. And if it don't fit, well, then we know they're either false prophets or speaking presumptuously. Let's continue here. He says, I was shapen in iniquity in my sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we understand what that means. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And just, you know, beautiful words, words which we sing in congregations, and probably are sung in congregations throughout the world. And that's one I have to add to our list here for our home church is this one. I don't have it on my list yet, but I must add it because I love it. It's one of my favorite choruses or psalms to sing, is that there. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Chapter 51, verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And speaking, of course, his blood guiltiness, his murder, which he committed and which he received a judgment on his house, that the sword would not pass from his house. And there are others that have brought false accusations. We talked about that a little bit more when we were talking about Bathsheba. They said that because David took a second wife, which we already know is a false accusation, that's why he had all that trouble in his life. No, it was the judgment of God for his adultery and his murder. This is plain from the scriptures. People, before they speak presumptuously, they should at least read the word, which is plainly written. So, and I could never condemn a man for doing something that the Almighty does not condemn a man for. So we need to be careful about that. There's a lot of things that are, there are a lot of things that are abhorrent in our contemporary society. Like in contemporary society, at least Western society, it is abhorrent to have many children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to have big families. You are looked down upon. You know, what's wrong with you? But it's a godly principle to have huge families, to bring forth a godly seed. As a matter of fact, I think it is antichrist to practice birth control and abortion. On top of being selfish, I believe it's a sinful thing, because you're going against, the very first commandment that the Creator gave the man and the woman, which was to be fruitful and multiply. And to emphasize that commandment, look at what he did. He made it a beautiful thing for a man and a wife to experience. He made it such a beautiful thing that even the heathen want to do it, but they don't want the responsibility, and they don't want the children. They want to kill them before they're born, or they want to prevent them from being born. Just disobedient. They hate God. They hate his commandments. But if we love God and we love his commandments, we must acknowledge that his commandment says to be fruitful and multiply. And if those who call themselves Christians, if all those people out there in those corporate churches, if they weren't practicing birth control and abortion, guess what? They wouldn't be fighting the war against abortion. You know, Roe v. Wade, they get up every year and they have their walks for life and stuff like that. It would all be unnecessary. Why would it be unnecessary? Because they would be taking over the society and the nation by sheer population out of obedience to the Creator. It is because they are disobedient that they're losing the war. And they're hypocrites. Probably most of those people out there just to make themselves feel good. They're doing their part, and perhaps they really believe that abortion is murder while they're practicing birth control. But like I said, if they were obedient to the Heavenly Father, and I'm speaking, well, now listen to me, all you people that are married. You maybe think you're older, getting in your 30s and 40s, and you young ones getting married. The Heavenly Father wants to bless you with many children. As many, you should have as many as he will let you have. That's right. And you should never practice birth control or abortion. And when you go to the allopathic doctors and you have your child, many of them will lie to you. And they will tell you that you can't have any more children. You might die if you have another child. Let me rip out your organs for having children. Let me hysterectomize you. And they do that to a lot of women. They lie to them. Trust in God. That's what I say. Trust in God. Don't listen to these priests, these high priests of Satan and pharmakia. Do not listen to them. They've been schooled in abortion. They've been schooled in population control. They will lie to you and think that they're doing a good thing. That's why they're so convincing, because they really believe in what they're doing. They believe it's fine to lie to you, to rip out to give you a hysterectomy, so that you can't bear any more children, because they're doing their part for Gaia. They're doing their part for the earth. And I know a lot of women who have suffered under these horrible practitioners of pharmacology. pharmakia, high priests of pharmakia, I call them, in their white robes with blood on their shoes, lying to people, putting people to death, and all the while having their conscience seared with a hot iron, believing what they're doing is good for humanity, good for earth, good for people, limiting the population. Or they just may not like your race. They might not like your color. They may think that your people are trash and they don't want any more of them. Who knows what their agenda is? Or their agenda is all these things jumbled up and mixed up together. And they genuinely believe it, and they come across as so genuine and so convincing. Don't fall for it. Trust in God. Don't believe the liars. So, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to God, and I will trust Him, and I will live with the consequences of my trust in Him. Okay, let us continue here. We got to, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Without righteousness, it's all nothing. Psalm 52. To the chief musician, Maskil, instructive, a didactic poem, a psalm of David. When Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said to him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, and but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And who are his saints? We are his saints. All those who trust in him, all those who have crossed the border into his kingdom and made him their king and said, I am willing to live by your law. I may fail, I may fall down, I may fall short, but I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to keep on trying until I learn obedience to your law. We are his saints, the people who have that heart. That is the heart of David. That is the heart that he had. We're not like these. We're going to fall down, and we shall see and fear. Yes, when we see the wicked fall, we fear. And it says, and we shall laugh too. But he's going to destroy them, who trust in a deceitful tongue. Love evil more than good. They're all around us, and they trust in the abundance of their riches, but their riches are going to die with them. Psalm 53. To the chief musician upon Mehalath. And I don't know what Mehalath is. I guess we're going to look it up again. A popular song, it says, initial word of a popular song. And, of course, Maskil again, which again means a didactic poem. instructive. The Psalm of David. Ah, here's the one. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I love this because a lot of people, they spend their time taking the scripture out of context. And they can make the scripture say anything they want it to say by taking any phrase or part of a verse out of context. Well, here's a verse. Did you know that the Bible says there is no God? Of course, now that I look at it, it only says that in the King James Version. But it's that's what it says. I believe they added the there is there. I think that was good at that time. A lot of what when they updated to the 1611 to the Authorized Version, a lot of what they did was good, and some of the things they added I don't agree with. But in this case, I think that it was a good thing when it says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. That kind of sounds like something that was repeated in the New Testament. There are none that do good, no, not one. There are none that do good. Of course, speaking of those, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or the fool just doesn't even have to say that. I mean, he just thinks God's not watching, because God's not holding him accountable, because he keeps getting away with his iniquity. So he does it more and more, and he thinks, oh, well, hey, I can do anything I want. Foolishness. You know, it is foolishness. It's the same thing as saying there is no God, thinking you can get away with it. You can't get away with anything. It's foolishness because you don't see, for those of you who think, well, I did this and I can get away with it, or you keep getting away with something and you think there are no repercussions for it. But the immediate repercussion is what it makes you. The immediate repercussion of your iniquity, of the things you think you're getting away with, is who you are. Look at yourself. Who are you? What are you doing? You know, who you are is evidenced by the things you're doing. So it's the shaping of your soul that is the immediate repercussion. You are becoming an evil and despicable thing. That's the immediate repercussion. You can't get away with anything at any time. Just because you got away with theft once, or you know, doing this here, or looking at some pornography there, or taking advantage of this person there, you're not getting away with anything. It may have been enjoyable, you know, enjoying sin is enjoyable for a season. Yes, it is. Acknowledged, you know, willfully acknowledged. I acknowledge that. But you're not getting away with anything because it's shaping you into something evil. And it becomes addictive too. The repercussions of what you think you're getting away with are immediate on your soul. And then you will stand before the judge one day. And he's going to say, look, I gave you liberty. And look what you did with that liberty. I gave you a life. And look what you did with the life. You turned it into something evil. And I warned you again and again, but you continued on doing the evil. Just because I let you get away with it. You know what? Our Heavenly Father had someone ask me a question the other day because I have this anti-Zeitgeist video on the internet. So I get all kinds of comments. And someone asked me the other day, they said, where was Jesus for the slaves in the 1800s? Wow, you know, that's kind of out of the blue. It's kind of really off topic. But that's the kind of things that people come up with. You know what? The answer is that he is the same place as he was with the slaves that were in Egypt, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, maybe. The slaves in Egypt. Same place. I told the man to read the Gospels and find out for himself, because I wasn't going to answer the question for him. Because I could have said something like that, and he still, without reading, he'd get no understanding. So hopefully he'll heed my words and read the Gospels for himself, and he'll find out who Jesus or Yahshua is and where he was. He was for them where he is for us right now, and all the slaves in America that are slaves today, or all the slaves throughout the earth for all time. Yahshua, our Creator and our Savior is in the same place, offering everyone the same liberty and the same freedom from sin that He has offered all men from all time. He is the same. It is the iniquity, it is the sin of mankind that brought this corruption and slavery and all of these wickedness and all these trials into our lives and in the world. And we are just part of it. They are here to test us, to see what we are. Like I said, you think you're getting away with something? No. It's a test to see what you are, who you are, what you're made of. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to continue in iniquity and idolatry just because you can get away with it and it feels good? Or are you going to cry out and say, man, this is not right. This is not loving my neighbor as myself according to God's law. Teach me thy ways, O God. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against thee. Choose this day whom you will serve. A psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. Yeah, they continue in their corruption. Instead of putting on the righteousness of God and encountering that corruption and getting away and building something good and true and pure and beautiful forever by putting off the corruption of the flesh and putting on the righteousness of Yahshua, our Messiah. That's the choice we have. We can continue in our corruption. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There it is. None that doeth good. No, not one. Well, it looks like we'll have to pick this up when we get back from the break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a break, listen to the news, and we'll be back after that.
Yes, Lord. Oh, you're good to us. You're worthy of our praise. Let's just sing it to him.
Jesus, we love you. We worship you, adore you. We lift up your name. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy of blessing and honor, and we give you so worthy.